Messenger, Talkstar Radio at Hotmail.com, and AOL IM X Zone Studio. For a number of months now, we've been watching a story that is developing at a very rapid pace in Napa, California. We received an email from a young gentleman by the name of Wayne Morin Jr. that described horrific things that were happening at the state hospital. Alcohol is being brought in, there's drug abuse, there are attacks against residents of a sexual nature, and even claims of murder and other serious crimes. When you look at the entire ball of wax, I call it crimes against humanity. We started our talks with Wayne months ago, and since that, things have started to change. Changes are being made. What was ignored is no longer ignored. What is happening at the Napa State Hospital in Napa, California is not being swept under the carpet of political safety anymore. It's because of brave people that are being spearheaded by Wayne Morin Jr. that the truth is coming out about the horrific events that were continuing, and who knows, to this very day they still may be continuing at Napa State, but the authorities are watching. The scary part about Wayne's story is, if it is happening in Napa State, is it happening in other institutions and hospitals in the U.S., Canada, or around the world? Joining me now is Wayne Morin Jr. Hey, Wayne, how are you?
Hello, Rob, and hello, X-Zone Nation out there. Hello, and thank you very much for having me back on, Rob. It's always such a gift to be on your show. And thank you for having me again.
Wayne, you are spearheading the investigation, or you were the one who brought to the attention of the government, the Justice Department, and everyone else, that there are things happening behind the walls of the Napa State Hospital that shouldn't be going on. What is the latest on on your quest?
Well, I have quite a bit of good news for the X Zone listeners and everybody out there that uses your affiliates in the United States and Canada, and as far as you reach. On Friday the 13th, yes, it was Friday the 13th of January, mm-hmm. I had an opportunity to go out to Napa State Hospital with my con rep. That's a person that runs my program that I'm in, a day program, and my grandmother and my sponsor. And what we basically did is we went to the Special Investigative Unit at Napa State Hospital, the Investigators Unit, and basically they called me out, the medical director, Dr. Zwerin, and Dave Graziani, and Loopy Rupron. I don't know if I'm saying that name right, but Loopy is her first name. She's the special investigator unit for the hospital, called me out there. And what I did is I was recorded for 2 hours. I was recorded, and I named the things that I named to you on your show, or tried to, but, you know, I named so much on your show. It was just such a blessing to be on your show, Rob. I admire you so much for letting me to come on here with Lucky. When Lucky came on, and she was a staff member that worked at the hospital as a psychiatric technician, and she verified the things that I was saying, but I basically got to spill my guts for a little
Wayne,
2 hours.
Wayne, we're going to get you back on the other side of this commercial break because we want you to tell us what's going on. Wayne Morin Jr. is our special guest. 1-877-528-8255 is our toll-free number. You want to hear about courage? You want to know what courage is all about? Stay tuned as the XO continues on the Talkstar Radio Network. Is toll-free throughout the U.S. and Canada. Wayne Morin Jr. is our special guest. And Wayne has gone through hell That's the best way I can describe it. You know, he did something wrong. He was placed into the custody of the state for his wrongdoing. Just because a person is guilty of an offense does not mean that those that are entrusted with the care and control of the person in custody, whether it be a penal institution or whether it be a hospital, whatever the case is, when we as society take the rights away from a person, and that's exactly what happens when you incarcerate or you put somebody under arrest and they are part of the judicial or penal systems, their rights, their freedoms have been revoked. It's my belief that society and those in charge of these people who have had these rights removed or suspended because of being found guilty of an offense should be treated as people. They should be treated with respect and dignity. All right, I know there's a lot of people out there who are probably disagreeing with me. Put yourself in their shoes. Wayne Warren is here to tell us a story that is shocking, to say the least. And Wayne, in my books, you're a courageous, you're courageous and you're a fighter. And I love it when you come on the show and tell us what's happening, that's happening because of the initiatives that you've taken. Wayne, you there?
Yes, I am. I was just, you know, just admiring what you were saying, and I wanted to thank you again for having me on the show, and your show has made such a big difference to the investigation with the Department of Justice, with the Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger's office here in California, and with helping me get to the proper channels. When I first came on your show the first time, I remember I didn't really have a stick and a leg to stand on. You put me on your show, and basically from there, one show after another show progressed till we were sort of talking to each other about saying, you know, Wayne, you can't be saying these things unless you get somebody down there from proof. And I came up with Lucky Myers, a psychiatric technician that was working there. She basically came on the show, and you worded things with her, and basically it was true what I was saying, but since she was doing a law case, she couldn't really name names or anything. I remember that being said. But, you know, so far, me going down there on Friday the 13th was probably one of the biggest reliefs that I had after having 18 years in that hell hole. Excuse my French out there, people, but that's what that place is. The anxiety and having to sleep with your eyes open, and the bathrooms being used as dens of rape, and people wanting to just beat your brains in because of what you believe or what they might think you believe, and the staff just turning the cheek. The horrors that go on, the belittling of human life, less than an animal, less than a dog and a cat, was just taken off my chest, Rob. I finally got to sing like the little canary to the special investigative unit at the hospital police department, special investigators. I will mention a person's initials are their name. His name is D.G. at Napa State Hospital, and I spoke to him and a man by his initial of J, which works the narcotics and drugs in the hospital. And I did it for 2 hours, and Rob, the things that I brought up on your show were just not enough. I know I brought up everything that I talked about your shows, the doctors that have raped, the clients that were using the bathroom. I named names, and I named of rapes, and I named of people seeing the rapes, and me seeing the rapes, and me being part of either putting the heart paddles on a client where the client died, clients using electrical heart paddles on other patients, and the patients dying. I named everything, but I didn't have really enough time. Just 2 hours was not enough, Robbie. If you knew, I've been out there for 18 years. My ears just go back in monologues of things that I know, of crimes, of things that the statutes of limitation doesn't run out. Rob, I really didn't talk anything about drugs or marijuana or amphetamines or cocaine. That was like a witch hunt to me. That stuff is a witch hunt. I'm talking about the serious things, the rapes, the bathrooms, naming names of the rapists, naming names of the doctors who use women as sexual objects. That's what I did. I named, you know, this wasn't enough time, Rob, but, you know, me being on your show helped that push that through. And I get, like, hundreds of emails a month, sometimes less and sometimes a little bit more, from families all over from San Diego, and I get some even from parts of Europe sometimes, of them saying, thank you for being a voice as a person to come out to speak about violence and abuses that are going on at mental hospitals. And when the families talk to me, they are always saying, thank you so much. My daughter or my son basically had been telling about these things. I didn't know whether to believe them, to think maybe they were trying to pull one over on me. But now that I went to the database site, which you have up tonight, and I suggest that people who are listening to me not only just take what I have for my word of it, but go to that database site that's under my name on the X Zone and look at the hundreds, but literally hundreds of news articles wrote by newspapers all over the United States, not just one little town, all over the place, different ones, and look at the crimes and the abuses that go on. And as you were saying, Rob, it's not just here in Napa. I've only done investigation at Napa because I come from Napa. But it's the same in Patton. It's the same in Atascadero. It's the same, and I'm starting to find out even people in Canada, some of the hospitals in Canada are the same way.
I will tell you something, Wayne, going back into the 50s at the Allen Memorial Hospital, which is part of McGill University in Montreal, Dr. Ewan Cameron, a very well-known psychiatrist, was conducting experiments on unsuspecting patients. These experiments were being funded by the CIA.
Yes, I've heard of that. Matter of fact, the person that makes the site for me, that uplifts, his name is Wes Pernair, that basically found my stuff on the internet that was taken off. The hospital police and the hospital made me take it off because I tried to expose the things that I'm telling you now about on the radio when I was in the hospital. They made me take it off the internet, even though my brother David and my friends of my brother put it up there for me, because they were saying, why isn't this guy ever getting out? Look, it must be because of these things. So they were trying to get me some kind of lawyer or somebody. So they wrote 60 Minutes, they wrote 2020, they wrote Barbara Walters. And basically, they said, well, you need to take this material off the internet. So I took it off. But basically, getting back to what you're saying is, yes, the man that built this site for me has pages and pages about Dr. Cameron, and he says that guy was really a kook, like someone out of Germany or but camps that they had in Germany, what he was doing. So I've read about him. I don't know too much about him, but you know, being in the hospital where I was at and seeing how callous and how cold the staff members are, you know, and the doctors that work there, you know, I wish, you know, that Lucky can, you know, name names like I do, because she can't because of the lawsuit.
That's right.
But, you know, it would be so beautiful for you that people out there to basically be able to hear another person that worked in there that knows the code of silence, knows what it's like if a staff member tries to tell on somebody what happens to them, and come forward more by naming names. All that would be beautiful. But, you know, Rob, I've been doing a good job so far for what I got. And on our database site, there's been four or five more doctors that have stepped forward just recently. And when I was out there at the hospital on Friday the 13th, these men that worked in the investigating unit, I want to tip my hats off to them right now and thank them for being kind, polite, and really gentlemen. Rob, they were really gentlemen. They made my grandmother, my con rep, myself, and my sponsor feel like, you know, we were right at home and welcome. And it was really fun basically nice and easy flowing for me to be able to tell on these people. It did not make me feel like, it made me feel good while I was telling. But, you know, I have to keep in contact with them because I want to keep up what's going on with these people and what the next step is. Because I name names of rapists and things like that. I want something done. I don't believe anybody should be immune from the law. And the doctors there, too, and the staff members that work there, too. What we need to do is they need to be brought up on charges if they can. You know, if there's something that, you know, they should be able to, no one should be immune from the law. And I'm going to keep up on them. And I'm going to add more to it as I go along, because they were such good people. I don't feel like I hold anything extra back. I can go to them again. They're really good, comfortable. You know, for the time that I've known the X-Zone, I was always waiting to find out if something like that was going to happen. And you remember when I went through the governor's office and waiting for them to get back to me, and when I was waiting and nothing really happened, it was 45 days was up. I started seeing Senator Wesley Chesbrough's office and going to them and talking with them. But now I finally got into the hospital where I went in there, and things are becoming more known. And the sad thing about it is that just back on November 22nd, a person by the name of Jack Ray Turner, who's 33 years old, Turner was arrested on suspicion of sodomy and two counts of lewd acts and commission of a sexual assault, knowledge that the defendant carries the AIDS virus and violation of parole. Now, basically what that means is that person, Jack Ray Turner, gave somebody AIDS while he raped somebody. And that kind of stuff, you know, just makes me feel so good that I'm telling on things like that and things that go on like that. Because they, for the longest time, when someone did a rape, I mean, at least when I was at the hospital, that was only 3 years ago, rapes go on consistently. And nothing's ever done. I mean, they don't want to bring it to the district attorney. The district attorney never gets the case in front of them.
But Wayne, stand by. Wayne, stand by. You and I have to take a commercial break. We'll be back on the other side of the news. Our listeners are saying, Wayne, don't let it go on the back burner. Keep the fire high. Don't let it fizzle out. And Wayne, I think I know you well enough to know that you're not going to let it fizzle out. By the way, the Canadian Department of Justice has been in contact with the X-Zone Radio Show. They were asked through the California State Department of Justice and the U.S. Department of Justice to have tapes of all the programs that Wayne has appeared on, and these were sent to the officials in the U.S. People do care, so do we, and that's why we're here at the X-Zone on the Talk Star Radio Network. Our special guest, we're talking about the Napa State Hospital in Napa, California. Wayne, has there been any changes in the hospital since you've gone public and broke this this heart-wrenching story?
Yes, I have to say there have been some changes, at least in the articles that I'm reading, and definitely through the families of the people that I get on emails, that's you know, that's a comfort to them, and that's basically what I'm trying to do, is be a voice for the unjust and get the unjust that I know of, that I participated in, that were done around me and me seeing exposed. And yes, a lot of things have been done. I want to, it's because of people like you and Channel Z and even Pastor Jack, and Lucas Allen, that I've been doing the shows with, that is helping that more people hear about it, and there seems the more articles are coming up about these things, and more people are being investigated, and the families are having more and more of a you know, going to bat to try to find out what Lucky was basically saying, is they need to ask questions. And when their family members said something to one of their people from the family in the hospital, said something to investigate and get together and talk about it. There's been a lot more of that going on, which is a blessing.
No,
one of the things, I don't really want to change the story right here, but I have to make a comment about a good friend of mine by the name of David Hoover. His mother's Marty Hoover, and basically he was in the hospital. He was my roommate for at least 13 years. We go back to the 70s when I was in the hospital. He had just gotten out in 2003, and basically he was probably my best friend in my whole world besides Shane Carlos Arroyo and my brother David that lives in Nevada. He passed in his sleep in January, and it was really a hard time for me for a while. It was a hard time for his mother because he did everything that he was supposed to. He was there for 20 years, and his crime was just throwing an ashtray at his family, and that was like 1982 he got locked up. And he was there for 21 years at the hospital just for doing that. If people can imagine They can just imagine something like that happened to somebody out there 21 years for doing that. I don't know what kind of people you say less than animals, that's being treated less than any animal I ever know. And I love David, and I miss him, and I know his mother does, and I know he was awarded by the Patients' Rights Advocacy when he was in the hospital, when he got out. Patients' Rights in Washington, D.C. gave him an award to say that should have never, ever happened to anybody. Nobody should have ever been locked up that long. The hospital made too many mistakes on you. And he has the award. His mother, Marty, has it now. And the thing I'm trying to say here is that Washington, D.C. and Sacramento gave him this award. He passed. He did the whole program. He was off the program that I'm on now, Rob. He's off of it. He was off of it about 3 months ago. And he got off after he did 21 years. He was on the program for 3 years, and he passed in his sleep. And it was just very tough for me to think of a guy that I knew that close just go like that. And, you know, me and him knew all the stories about the things he used to cover me. And
right. Are you okay, buddy?
Yeah, I'm all right. I'm okay, but it's hard for me to talk about him and look at his face what I'm doing right now.
You okay?
On the internet site.
Do you want to take a few minutes, buddy?
Yeah, I was wondering if I could.
All right, you just sit back for a second or two, okay?
Yeah, thank you, Rob.
You take a couple of deep breaths. And I'm just going to let our listeners know that they're listening to the X-Zone Radio Show on the Talk Star Radio Network with yours truly, Rob McConnell, and Wayne Morin Jr., who has gone through living hell. And Wayne is telling us a story of what I consider to be crimes against humanity, and people are being treated worse than animals. And like one of our listeners has just sent me an internet message saying that, you know, murderers aren't even locked up for that long a time, and this gentleman just threw an ashtray and he was locked in the system for 21 years. Better now, Wayne?
I'm better. It's just that, you know, his mother Marty calls me and she says, Wayne, I'm just calling, I'm just hoping that he's going to call me tonight on the phone. And I don't know what to say to her. You know, for the last 9 years, me and him sat by the same payphone when we were in the hospital. And every day he'd call his mother and every day I'd call my grandmother around the same time we'd use the payphone. And they'd come down and loyally see us once a month or whatever they could, and we'd be all dollied up to see him. And I mean, he did. I mean, that couldn't have happened to a better guy. And he was only 51 years old. And my goodness, they took so much from him. And his mother is just like the sweetest woman that I ever talked with, besides my grandmother. And she, I imagine what she goes through, and how she wrote an article to the paper a while back, and it's in our database. And you'll see that. When the Department of Justice was investigating all these articles and the things that were going on there, she wrote an article and said, my son David Hoover just got out of the hospital, and everything that the Department of Justice is saying is true. And I remember Dave even came on the show one time. One time he came on the show, Rob, and he was telling you that how long he was there at the hospital.
Right.
You kept him on a little longer than you kept Shane. Because, you know, you were sort of like stunned, I think, to hear somebody said that they were in there for that long.
Yes, I was.
And, you know, my goodness, what did he care about when he was on, when he talked about something? He wasn't really trying to go after anybody. What he was talking about was treating people less than humans there, how people were treated less than humans. He always cared for the other guy. He always cared for somebody else. He didn't really care for somebody very much.
Now, Wayne, with the investigation that is going on right now, apparently law enforcement is now taking part of it. They can't sweep it under the carpet anymore. They can't deny that these things have happened. What is the next step, according to the investigators that you've been speaking to?
Well, what I'm thinking, Rob, is that basically what they're going to have to do now is With the things that I went out there and I talked to him about, the special investigators, and with my Conrad, he's like a parole officer. He's like my big brother, actually. But he has a political figure in the community. And I took my grandmother and I took some members of a 12-step program I go to, and basically I talked all these crimes to them when they were there. And And basically, they told me they were going to look into it. They were going to go bring it to the proper channels and the hospital and on the people that I named and everything. They were going to investigate. Now, I'm not going to be calling them every week, you know, Rob, and saying, hey, did you find out anything? Did you check on this? Is that all that does is sabotage. But what I can do is I can continue to check with the friends that call me or people that rent me from the hospital and things like that. They're my ears inside there. So far, things not really changed, not really going on has changed. But there has been some part of the investigation started, from what I understand. And, you know, I'm just going to keep plugging away, Rob. This isn't going to go away with me, you know. The women that I know that were sexually assaulted, the doctors that got away with things, they need to get some kind of citation and locked up just like everybody else does, you know. And I have to say that because it is a crime, and they shouldn't be immune, you know. People have to pay for heinous crimes like that too. People are trusted, like you said, Rob. Those people are trusted servants of the community to deal with people that have mental illness that are sick. Even though there's a lot of gangbangers, I'm not saying people out there are saints, but I'm saying there's a lot of people like I and David and Shane and a lot of other people that are just in there for little things and they got swept under the rug. And a lot of things have been helping change it for the better. And I'm going to keep doing this, Rob. And thanks to people like you that sent all the law enforcement, and people like you that got, when the Department of Justice got in touch with you, you were loyal and said, yes, we'll give everything to you. Thank you for contacting the hospital and everything you did. Now, these kind of things help, you know, and sooner or later, something's going to change. And I got a feeling it'll probably be pretty soon, too, hopefully, that something will change, because these hospitals, they're making so much money on people for clients. The taxpayers probably getting fed up with it. You know, the taxpayers, like that Michael Moore thing, is when I wrote to him, I told Michael Moore, I said, make some Michael Moore. These people are making close, you know, I don't remember the estimate, but I went right to the paperwork and they told them how much the taxpayer's dollar per client is there. You know, it's $100,000 per client. And, you know, I mean, it's just way too much. And there's only 1,014 people out there. So, you know, you figure that plus all the state of California, all the hospitals there per patient. That's way too much money for how they're being treated and what they're getting in the programs. They just keep people there forever. And, you know, they'll probably get a wind of that, and they'll probably want to make some changes, hopefully. At least the Democratic Party will, you know. So I really don't know really much more that I can go into say that the understandings of things have been looking better, a lot better. But, you know, again, you know, progress is slow. It's bureaucracy. I learned that this last year doing these talk shows and things. Nothing happens when it's supposed to, and you hear about it. Sometimes this moves an inch, but that's a big step. So I'm going to continue to keep that, because people in my program are for me doing this. They think it's healthy. They think it's something that needs to be done. I think I'm definitely going to know it's something that needs to be done. And I feel good about when I do it, because I know it's true. I'm willing to sing. I'm willing to tell the truth over and over again. It doesn't bother me. And someone in there might not be getting hurt. And some staff member might think not to do something to somebody. Some gangbanger might think he better not do that because he'd probably get charged brought on him. So this does help me, and it helps the community, makes people safe, and it's good to do. So I'm for doing this, Rob. I'm so thankful that you have me on your show again. And I'm sorry for cutting up there for a second, but I was looking at Dave's picture. And
It's all right. It's all right. You're human, my friend. Listen, what was it like in there? Maybe we can just give a little bit of insight to our listeners. What were the meals like? What were the living conditions like?
Well,
when you were in
there? As Lucky Meyer, the staff member that was on your show, she basically said the walls are always cold. You can catch colds very easily. The temperature in the hospital is never right. It's cold prone, so you sooner or later catch a very bad cold. There's never enough clothes for you to change you. The food is very lousy. She talked about the food is not healthy at all. The atmosphere of the people inside the place is like a death warmed over a comatose, because people don't have any hope of ever getting out. after they're there 3 or 4 years, they lose their spiritual fight to want to even get out, most of them, because they realize that nobody's going to come and try to help them get out, and the people that work with the hospitals and work with the communities aren't interested in having them back because they're making a lot of money off them being there. So, you know, it's like I said again, it's like being in a place, like I said, you're like in limbo or hell. And after you get to know everybody and everybody gets to know you, it becomes worse because people there are consistently, they're in a place that's not good anyway mentally, unless you're doing things to better yourself and get out and be back in the community and be able to learn those things. But when you're in there, their biggest programs, they don't have any schooling for you to learn, no college, no job courses, no anything. They might teach a few people that are Spanish. They might teach a few people that are DDs how to read or how to use a computer, but that's not enough for everybody there. They don't have any kind of learning processes, no kind of schools you go to learn, no GED courses. And if they do have programs like that, you can never hardly get in them. They have AAs, thank God for AAs, that the AA members come into the hospital and they do those things, because that at least gives the people that's in there a chance of a glimpse of the outside, the real world, somebody coming in to see them. But that's not enough. You know, that's not going to help them get a job. That's not going to help them do things in the community, be functioning citizens on medication and living a law-abiding life. They don't teach you anything while you're in there to try to make yourself be suitable for the community. Matter of fact, 97% of the people that get out relapse within the first year. And I've been out 3 years now, and I'm doing really great. But you know what? Most people that are just in there for a few years, because they break them so hard, they just snap their back. They say, you're not worth doing anything. You're not even worth to live, but you're living anyway. You see how the world is made. They cut them loose into a program, Conrad, or they come back into the community with some supervisor, and they don't usually last. But, you know, thank God that, you know, me exposing these things makes the public aware of what they might need to do and what they need to look into and how they need to look into it and better it. And that's what, you know, my program is doing with me. They want me to do these things, and if I voice these things, other Congress and other places will know, the Department of Justice will know where the money needs to go and things like this. And I mean, I'm just one little voice, but you know, it always helps to make it known to where these things are really messing up bad for people to hear about it. Because then people start saying, you know, all my money's going over there, I didn't know that, you know? And these kind of things go on, and people start to look at them more.
Better, all right, Wayne, stand by. You and I have to take a commercial break. When we come back, it's the final wrap-up. And we'll let you, the X-Zone Nation, know how you can contact Wayne and send him your support. Let him know how you feel. I, for one, am glad that Wayne Warren is out there doing his best to let people know that you just cannot abuse people, no matter where they are. I'll be back on the other side with Wayne Morin as the XO continues on the Talk Star Radio Network.
Here's a B-movie quiz.
Wayne, as always, great having you on the show. Wayne, you've got to promise me one thing.
What's that, Rob?
You'll never stop being you.
Thank you so much, Rob, and thank all XO listeners out there, and anybody who wants to email me, my email address is Wayne Morin Jr., that's WayneMorinJr. @comcast.net. So feel free to email me any of your thoughts or anything you might need. And thank you, X-Zone people out there. I love you all, and thank you so much.
I'm sorry, Wayne, I've got something here from one of our listeners. Her name is Bonnie, and she listens to us in Topeka, Kansas, and she's basically saying, good for you, Wayne, God bless you, and you know, the X-Zone Nation is behind you, Wayne.
Thank you so much, and that helps me so much, and it helps the families out there that are listening. If one person's listening, so are a lot of the people that have been on and listening, family. Thank you, and good night, X-Zone Fit.
Before you go away, I'd like you to give out your email address a little slower.
Okay, for sure, Rob.
Okay.
Okay, my email address is WayneMorinJr. comcast.net.
You did it.
Thank you, Rob.
Hey,
thank you, Lauren. Thank you, extra zone crew out there.
All right, buddy, you take care of yourself, and you call us if anything happens. We'll get you right back on, you know that.
I'll let you know right away, Rob. Thank you,
my good friend. God bless.
God bless you.
And to your friend's mom, our condolences from everyone here at the Exxon.
Thank you so much. That helped so much, Rob.
Take care, my friend.
Good night.
Bye-bye. Now, Wayne Warren, what a guy. He's a real trooper. His story is real. His heart is pure. All he wants to do is make a difference. You know, when you think of the atrocities that Dr. Ewan Cameron committed at the Allen Memorial, people, and how many people were subjected to sleep deprivation, LSD testing, this guy was being funded by the CIA. People are people. Damn it. I hope these people are nailed to the wall for what they've done to Wayne, and I hope the investigation continues and opens up all the institutions who are committing crimes against people. Well, that's it for tonight, everyone. To my senior, producer at Master Control, and my good friend Ed Shiflett, thanks, Ed, for keeping us up on those two big birds in the sky, Galaxy 4R and Healthstar 7, and around the world on TalkStarRadio.com, streaming audio. To my wife and senior producer, Laura Rogers, thank you, sweetie, for all your hard work. Jeff Birch, Pioneer Radio, thank you. Will LaRoy at Radio Talk Radio Nation, thank you. And to each and every one of you, thank you for allowing me to call the X-Zone from everyone here at the X-Zone Radio Show.